Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Event Buzz podcast by Purple Pass. I'm your host, Savannah McIntosh, and with me today, we have Devin Lazama, the founder of EDM Maniac. Originally a publication started to amplify emerging dance artists and events around the world, it has now grown into a multifarious brand, becoming the leading voice in electronic dance music. Throughout the pandemic, EDM Maniac has hosted CDC-compliant in-person experiences as well as live stream productions. On today's episode, we will be discussing how EDM Maniac has recently pivoted their events to be COVID-safe and their plans of bringing the EDM community together and allowing people to reconnect through their experiences live and in person. Hi, Devin. Thanks for coming on to the podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing super. I can't believe it's May. But yeah. I'm really excited that the world seems to be moving in a better place.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to look back where we were a year ago and see how far we've come. So I'm actually feeling great.
Great. Well, you guys are doing some amazing stuff. So I'm really excited to talk to you and kind of share that with the listeners today. So let's just have you do a little brief intro about yourself, who you are, and how EDM Maniac got its start.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a fun story that I love talking about. Almost 10 years ago, I was living in New York City, and I was introduced to dance music. Actually, it was a little over 10 years now, but I was introduced to dance music by a friend, and I was just finishing college. And I moved out to LA from New York, not knowing anyone, but still having this love for dance music. And I didn't know anyone here. So the first thing I did was just start going out and trying to meet people. Mm-hmm. And so I started going out in LA, some small events, some bigger events, and started meeting some really great people. And those people were pretty connected within the local LA community. And we were going out a lot, and they were DJs, and they were like, hey, do you want to help us like throw an event or a party? And I was like, sure, what kind of party? He's like, well, it's going to be an illegal warehouse party. And I was like, what? I've never been to one of those. I was like, yeah, sure. I know. I started meeting more people, so I started inviting my friends, and I was like, sure, I'll help out with it. And the parties were being promoted on Instagram, which is a huge part of what we do right now. But back then, it was just getting started. You know, it was
a
very
really
basic
advanced
app. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a very basic app. It wasn't doing much, just like a couple filters on photos. But we started to use Instagram as a way to promote these parties right when Instagram was starting and everyone was on it and it was so new and all of our friends were joining. We were using those hashtags that at the time were really, really, you know, beneficial to growth. And you know, people would find out about the parties on Instagram. And then, you know, I started this Instagram account. You know, I don't remember what I called it back then. It wasn't called EDM Maniac, but it was something about the party.
Yeah.
And then the party started getting bigger and bigger. And my friends were like, hey, I think you're onto something here. I think you should maybe like, you go to a lot of events. You're always out. You're always partying. You should like do something with that. And I was like, yeah, I don't know if that's realistic. I was like, I don't know. Like that seems kind of far-fetched. And I was working like a 9-to-5 job at the time. I worked in tech for a while for like past 10 years.
Oh yeah. Actually. I was going to ask what you majored in.
Yeah. I went to film school, but
Oh, nice. Yeah,
I worked for Apple for about 6 years at their retail store, fixing computers and stuff. And that's how I pivoted to kind of tech.
Yeah.
So I was doing tech for a while in LA, some great companies. I was working for Hulu when they just first started. It was like 50 of us. I worked for Apple's media agency, worked for a lot of really, really great companies. And at the time, this was like 10 years ago, I was like, sure, I'll just like, you know, maybe start like a page on Instagram for like going to festivals and stuff. And at the time, dance music was exploding. And this was like the 2010s. And it just kind of took off from there, and people were liking the Instagram page, DMing us at the parties, and it just kind of blew up. And I realized when it blew up was when we got a message from Armin van Buuren. He's a very famous trance DJ, from his publicist saying, hey, Armin van Buuren's gonna be playing in Las Vegas. He's gonna be opening up this new nightclub called Omnia. He was like, hey, do you want to come down and meet Armin? I was like, what?
That's so cool.
I was like, wow. So from there, things kind of just blew up. You know, I was working full time, but I was also focusing on growing EDM Maniac full time. And here we are about 10 years later. We are one of the largest and most influential dance music publications in the world. We have like 155,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah.
We do live stream events with Insomniac TV. We have a great partnership with them.
That's so cool.
And we also do live events. We were the third drive-in dance event in North America in June of last year, EDM drive-in event.
Oh yeah. And I'm going to ask you about that. Don't worry. I'm
sorry. Yeah. And yeah, so here we are 10 years later doing amazing things. I have a love for dance music and it's been a really awesome adventure.
That's so cool. Yeah. You never know. You never know where life's going to take you.
And you really don't.
And that's amazing. And can I just say, I cannot wait until we can all dance together again.
Yes, absolutely.
Way too long and we're slowly getting there. And I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. And on that note, like you said, it's we're slowly moving towards, you know, somewhat of a normal. I wanted to kind of touch base and see how was the past year for you guys during the pandemic?
Well, I kind of want to give it a little bit more context about me. I was still working my full-time job up until last year. Okay. And then the opportunity came along in February of last year that would have allowed me to focus on EDM Maniac full-time. So what I did was I did what anyone would do, quit their job. And a couple weeks later, literally the pandemic hit and the company that we were going to partner with was like, you know what, we can't do this. You know, our financials are going to be different for the next year.
Yeah.
Then the opportunity that was there was kind of no longer there. So I was out of a job, which was crazy. But then I sort of looked back and I was like, hey, maybe this is what I needed the entire time. Maybe this is the big step in my life that I needed to quit my job and focus on this, you know, all the time. And I did just that, got really innovative, spent hours thinking about how to get creative. We partnered with a lot of people to do different sorts of events. In June of last year, we were the third dance music drive-in event in North America. So people would bring their cars, hear the music from their cars, dance, mm-hmm. full stage production, everything, fireworks. It was really cool. And October, we did another one for Halloween. And then in Texas, in Austin, we started doing CDC socially distant dance events where people can actually dance. And we started those in October and we've been doing those every weekend since October. So yeah, great times there. We were doing live streams with Insomniac that we started in January to keep people sort of engaged. And we produce original content for Insomniac. But, you know, all of that sounds like really fun, but in reality, it was really, really difficult.
Yeah.
It was working with the state, working with the governor. Like, I was mm-hmm. kind of thrown into these positions, like dealing with health officials that I never thought I would be in. But it gave me a ton of experience but it was challenging. I think it was really hard because for a minute you're kind of like, what does the future look like? What does the future look like for me? What does it look like for the world? And I wasn't sure. And I don't think anyone was sure last year, actually. Like, I don't think anyone really knew what the world would look like a year later.
We're still like not knowing sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's quite a bit of uncertainty.
Yeah.
But it really allowed me to be more creative and think more outside mm-hmm. of the box. And I think in the moments where, you know, you're kind of like in the dark a little bit you're kind of like up against the wall, you get really creative. Mm-hmm. And I found it to be sort of like the most creative year of my life.
Yeah, I definitely agree. We get so used to being comfortable. And then once you finally feel that discomfort, that's when you start doing stuff and you start, you know, pushing boundaries, getting creative. So it was probably a blessing in disguise, life telling you, okay, this is your next step. We're going to make it happen. And you guys did it. And nothing good comes easy. That's what we all have to remember. So it's hard work, but look at everything you guys have accomplished so far. It's so amazing. Yeah, and have you guys been producing live stream events? Is this the first time really doing that, or were you doing that before COVID?
We weren't doing it before COVID. No, we were very focused on, you know, we're also a music publication. So we were really focused on that. So we kind of grew into these new verticals of live streams, went back to live events. Like I mentioned, like we were doing events in San Diego back in the day and all these warehouse parties. And now we're back doing live events in different capacities. We're actually going to be back in San Diego on May 22nd for a socially distant pool party. We're not socially distant, but it's going to be because you're allowed to be at a pool now. So it's going to be minimum capacity in San Diego. And then we're going to announce in just actually a couple hours here, our first open air event in Los Angeles at the W Hotel in Hollywood. And that's going to be a nice event for people to come dance and listen to music. Yeah. Tons of stuff coming up.
Yeah. And that's really tricky for you guys, like you said, dealing with all the health officials in the different states, because you're doing it in different areas. So you really have to learn different states, because I live in Texas right now, but my family's from California. Two different places, two different things going on. So you never know. So it's a lot.
It's a lot. And the governor in Texas, when we're doing our events there, he had this whole thing about, no, you can't force people to wear a mask. You can't do this. You can't do that. So we had to work against like whatever was happening as it was happening. And we had to change a lot of our messaging last minute based on sort of what was happening. And then you have California where you have to wear a mask everywhere and socially distant. But it was great. It was such a, it was a really awesome learning experience. And to be able to, interact with, people that I normally wouldn't interact with, and it made it really exciting.
Now, I wanted to ask, we have a lot of different artists, especially DJs that use us, and they've been turning towards, virtual dance parties, live streams, because they have to right now. I wanted to ask if, since you guys have experience with that and you know what it's like learning and starting out, if there's any tips, suggestions you have for these creators out there wanting to put on their own virtual dance party for the first time, where would they start or what they should know?
They should start, if they want to make it interesting, a lot of people are using green screen, which in the film world is like a green backdrop that allows you to sort of transpose the background to like something cool, that's not just like your living room. So I would say maybe look into green screen. It's actually really easy to use. It's not that difficult. There's so many videos online to make cool green screen videos. I would say maybe just add like a little, maybe like talk a little bit more about like your artistic and creative process. We realize that people really like hearing about that stuff. And just be original, be unique, be yourself. And YouTube is your best friend for learning any sort of video streaming skills. One of my biggest regrets, not a regret, but like I kind of regret going to college and paying so much money for college, because everything's available on YouTube now. And granted, college was a great experience, but like everything that I feel like I learned in college, I can definitely have learned on the internet now. That's just my two cents about college. But yeah, I mean, do a lot of research. There's resources out there, and be original. I think that's what I would say.
Nice. And I agree with, whenever I think about college, I think my biggest regret, and we're just putting this out there, my biggest regret is not doing like a gap year, and instead of jumping right in, taking that year to like figure out who you are.
Exactly.
And then the other thing I wanted to ask, touching on like these different events you've been mentioning, correct me if I'm wrong, I think you had an event in San Antonio, the Electric Cookout, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Yes. Is that of the event where you partnered with Clear for the health? I wanted to ask about that because that sounded really cool for their health passes. I wanted to hear more about that, what you guys did there. Yes.
That was a crazy experience because it was all ages, and because we wanted to, Texas last minute, like 2 weeks before the show, they were like, you can't ask people to do any of this. People should be able to not wear masks. People should be able to not have to fill out a health questionnaire, that sort of stuff. So we had spent months kind of like getting this together with Clear, but people used it anyway, which was great. But essentially, it's a way to safely secure some of your health information, including like a negative test. and proof of vaccination. Basically, you just upload that information and the screen turns green, which means you're allowed to enter the event. This technology was not being used at any music festivals. We're the first one to really use it.
Yeah.
And it is going to be the future of music festivals, yeah. I think. And it's going to be the future. Well, they're using it now at stadiums and baseball games and concert halls and stuff. But as we sort of leave the tail end of COVID, I believe that these passports or mobile solutions are going to give people a peace of mind to get back into large spaces. And it's going to give, venues some, liability help, so that like if they enter the venue, they've made a health declaration or that they've been vaccinated or if they have a proof of negative test. These sorts of things, I think, will help us get back to live events. And I believe they're certainly going to be around for the future, especially for even like flying into another country, that sort of stuff.
So with this technology, did you just tell like the guests in advance to
we communicated all that stuff. It's all done through an app. You get a special code for the event, enter the code, you do a health questionnaire, you upload your negative test or your vaccine, that sort of stuff. And it was a very simple process, but it took took a couple of weeks to really get implemented on the technology side with Clear. But all in all, it was a great experience.
And so did you require it? Like they have to do it to enter?
We didn't require it. No.
Oh, okay.
Because Texas is Texas.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Cannot do that. But most people took advantage of it because we offered like extra benefits, like special viewing area.
Oh, okay.
Dedicated viewing, dedicated entry lines. So we wanted to give people incentive to get back outside, but do it in a healthy and safe way.
What a great idea. That's so cool. Yeah, you guys should definitely capitalize on that. That it's the first,
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, really push that out. Like, look what we're doing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed that right away. And I was like, I've never heard of that. That's genius.
Yeah.
And then, so you've been doing other cool events. So you've done, like you've talked about the drive-in raves, which is really cool. And then I think I've saw somewhere that you guys did like dance pods.
So we did a pod rave. So up in Fresno County, California, where you basically come with your pod of friends and you stay with the entire, you go to this pod area sectioned off, and you stay with that pod the entire time of the show. And you can obviously go get a drink or stuff, but we had people just come with pods, and we're happy to say that actually helped a lot. And we didn't have any cases reported, anything like that. We did it because it helps with contact tracing. If there was something that happened, we could easily, we can easily trace it back to who you were with. And who you were around. And we are, it was really excited to do something like that. So we did drive-ins, we've done pods, we've done like, the electric cookout with the health pass. But coming up in LA and San Diego, all we're going to need and ask for is that you wear a mask upon entry and get a temperature check and you show a proof of vaccination or negative test. And then if you got all that, you can dance the night away.
I'm so jealous. I'm ready. One day.
I think we're all ready.
It's going to be a good party when we get there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, as an event marketer, I did also wanted to ask if you've seen a shift in how we market or how you promote events in 2021, or how you think if there's going to be a change in how we go about promoting events, whether it's online or in person.
Yeah, health and safety is going to be the number one priority for in-person events. So there's going to be an emphasis on that for sure. The promoters are going to market events as safe events, and I think a lot of them are going to require that health pass that I was talking about. And then as for the live events, I think the future of live events are going to stay around for our future of live stream events are going to stay around, but I do feel like they're going to be there, but not going to be as like prevalent as they were during COVID and quarantine, because there's real life out there and people want to experience that in real time and in the flesh. So I think there's going to be some live streams definitely still, but not as many as there were during quarantine.
Yes, I definitely think in the future it's going to be always like hybrid options too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've talked to a lot of people and they've definitely people who didn't even want to like do streams at all. They didn't want to have anything to do with it, but now they're like, oh, I'm reaching so much more people. I'm definitely going to be doing live stream and in person. So something good came out of it, I guess. And my final question I wanted to leave you with, you guys also have experience with virtual concerts, right? You hosted that in the past. I wanted to touch on that because that's a big event. I wanted to see if you could just mention the technology behind them that makes it such an immersive experience, or how. It's a big question, but if someone's trying to put on a virtual concert, what type of technology they might be prepared looking into, or what they should know?
See, we use professionals for this because they were, you know, these were 3D, these were like custom built stages. It was absolutely insane what we did with the virtual stages. But I would say partner with like a design house if you can, or someone who's like really good at animations. Like, because the stuff that we were doing for these virtual concerts were really next level. This is such new technology, and they were using sort of what they call the Unreal Engine, and that's basically what they use in video games to create video games.
Wow!
So it's okay. That
don't
kind
do
of
it
technology.
Alone.
Yeah.
Find a partner.
Basically. Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you just need that good partner, like with you guys. Sometimes if you don't know what's happening, you need. It's worth it. It's worth it to have someone by your side helping you walk through it.
Yeah.
Walk through the challenges. Okay. Awesome. Definitely. There's anything else you want to put out into the world for our listeners, specifically, you know, our creators, our artists, our DJs during this time that's so unknown and just who are navigating it and all the challenges? Anything else you would like to tell them, or tips, or just some positive energy?
Absolutely. I would say you really never know when or what life has in store for you. And you really have to be open to new experiences and believe that anything is possible. And sometimes it's really hard to do that. But I think if you're really passionate about something, you shouldn't be afraid to chase it. And you should really be open to new opportunities, especially if it aligns with what you believe in and your values and stuff that you're passionate about. I think life is so short that we should enjoy doing things that we love. And if you're not, are you really living? You know, you have to ask yourself that. Like, are you really living if you're not doing something that you love? So take advantage of those opportunities, be risky, and be open. And you never know what life will bring you.
Yeah. Oh, great advice. It was great talking to you. I know you are a busy, busy person, so I will let you get back to work.
Yeah.
And enjoy your day. Hopefully you're having great weather. Go out, get some sunshine.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's needed for sure.
Yeah, get some vitamin D.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Well, enjoy the rest of your day, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye. Bye.